Time now on our pregame show to visit with Tom Cerruteri, head coach of the Beavers. Tom, these tight one-goal losses have to be getting old. I know they are for me. How have the guys kind of responded coming back so far after these?
I think it's hard for them. I mean, today, this morning, obviously the meeting too, it was a little quiet. These guys want to win right now, and they know they've played good hockey, but it's not a consolation prize, and they don't look at it that way, nor do I look at it that way, nor do you look at it that way. But, I mean, these are good teams we're playing. I think we played 7 out of 9 really good periods, Schulze, and but at the end of the day, we got no points, no sugar to show for it.
It's been the second period that's been an issue, if there has been one. Do you know why?
No, and it's a good point. And like I told our guys, we've had 7 out of 9 good periods. The one second period, the Friday night against Duluth, and last night. But last night, as much as we got outscored 3-0, one goes off their head or shoulder, whatever it was. That rebound was just an odd play. Gavin loses a stick on the stuff, and we get stripped. But then he doesn't have a stick because the stick breaks. Like bad break city number two, and then we lose a face-off tap. So at the end of the day, too, it's not like there was necessarily anything from an intensity level, I guess is what I'm getting at, Schulze. I thought our intensity level was low the second period Friday night against Duluth, and it showed with our face-offs. It showed just I thought we were our turnovers. It didn't show that last night, but you can't give yourself a good grade when you outscored 3-0. So we've had 7 out of 9 pretty darn good periods, and that's how we have to – that's what we talked about as a group, and we're playing good hockey. And sometimes, again, if there's nothing to show for it, but just stick with it. And if you keep playing the way we're playing, we're going to win some games.
So Biss and I couldn't tell how Gavin's stick broke. Quirk here, goalie can play with a broken stick. A regular player can't. But where that stick broke, I don't know if he would have been useful to play with it. Do you know how it broke?
I don't, Schulze, and I didn't really – I watched on video a little bit, obviously, but I didn't analyze it. I probably should have, but you're spot on to where it broke. It broke right between the shaft right there, where the wide part of the shaft to the small part of the shaft right there. And so I don't know if Gavin could have played, with that on that wide part anyway. So it's too bad. It was a bad break, but it's just one of those things that happens every 10 years, 15 years, whatever it might be, and it happened last night.
Do you like how you guys defended 26 last night?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, it's weird, Schulze. We're not necessarily playing against 26. You have to be aware of them out there. There's no question about that. But, yeah, I thought, again, we were pretty close to the vest, but it wasn't necessarily him. It's just probably the way we play a little bit. But I thought he was contained all right. Hopefully, again, same thing can happen tonight, but this is a different night. They're at home, so we'll see what happens.
You guys got the jump start there with Kirkup's goal. Again, we talked about a little bit last night in the postgame that he just played really well. When he plays physical, he plays well, doesn't he?
I agree, Schulze. He has to play a heavy game, and when TK plays a heavy game, he's a threat. He's so good down low. He's just he's a tank. When he's protecting the puck down low and he's creating separation, and even when he turns the corner, when he gets outside speed, he's really strong, he's really heavy, he's got good length, and he brings pucks to the net hard. And he's a threat when he's playing that way. And he did this in spurts last year. Hopefully he'll be more consistent this year.
Back in the day, that third line, the quote-unquote checking line, was filled with a bunch of big bodies who go play physical. The game has changed. But what went into the thought process of putting those three big guys together?
Well, we just, we think TK has been playing pretty good hockey. Jacob Lewandowski is a heck of a hockey player. And we just said to ourselves, let's put Adzi up there. Let's create a heavy line. We knew it would be a pretty good line. We just like to – we liked the makeup of that line, and here tonight we're switching lines, and we knew they played well last night, and we sat there and debated this morning, should we keep them together, but we had to make some changes, we felt, and we made some changes. And sometimes when you make changes, you kind of gotta tweak everything. It's just hard to tweak a little. So we'll see what happens. You never know. We can always go back to certain certain line combinations.
More with Coach Cerruteri when we come back. Pregame continues here on the Beaver Radio Network. Welcome back to our pregame show, part two with head coach Tom Cerruteri. Owen Sillinger, it seemed like, took the vast majority of faceoffs for you guys last night. It was odd how You know, it didn't seem like there were many faceoffs when the third and fourth lines were out there. Just the sheer number of them has to wear on you. And yet, come crunch time, you pull the goalie. He won a ton of faceoffs and won them clean. How does he get better as the game goes on like that?
He's just a competitor. He's got good technique. He's one of the best faceoff players in the country, and he has been for 4 years. And he's bailed us out of a lot of things right there, Schulte. And he was money last night when it counted.
What type of skill set does a good faceoff guy need?
I think there's a lot of different things you need. I mean, number one is you got to have a low center of gravity. You got to have good technique, which is part of that. And Owen has a little bit of a wide base. He's got good quickness. But the biggest thing is it's like he practices it, but it's intensity-based, Schulte. I don't care. It's like anything. It is intensity-based. And he puts a lot of pride. And he just, again, he takes a lot of ownership in face-offs. And not every centerman does. You wish they would, but they don't. And he does, and it's important. It's an important statistic to him. He realizes it's a team statistic, and that's kind of what Owen brings to the table. He's just such a well-rounded player, and that's just a big, it's a big puzzle piece for him, too, which even makes him a more complete player.
I should have given you some warning on this, but who have been some of the absolute best face-off guys you've had in your coaching career here?
Andrew Murray was really good. A big, strong, different type of centerman, face-off guy than Owen. Murray's more of your Joel Otto type. He's not 6'4", don't get me wrong, but he's 6'1", 6'2", pretty big guy. And, also very driven, intensity-based player, detailed type player. He stands out. Matt Reed was really good, too. Matt Reed was good on faceoffs. Isn't it interesting how these really good players are good in different areas? And I know there's other guys, but just you're throwing that out quick to me here, Schulte, and it is. It's hard to probably remember back. I like to sit there and look at a lot of my centers over the years. Those guys, and Owen Sillinger, he could be the best. He could be the best of all of them. I know I haven't probably used a centerman more than Owen, I'm not afraid to put him in any situation out there. And I use him a lot, as was evident last night with the number of taps he took.
Sticks are obviously a lot different from back when you played. But how has the faceoff evolved from when you played to how it's done now?
Well, I think a lot of it is just rules. There's wider hash marks, and I think you could cheat. You could really cheat, move your body back in the day. I mean, you think about some of those things. So now it is more of an art. Because there's rules that say you got to stand in a certain way, and there's the face-off infractions. I mean, yeah, there's double jeopardy. You can get a penalty. I mean, there's just a lot of things. Your second one, there's a minor penalty. So you have that psychologically is tough, because if you get a warning, and it's an emphasis, that you might be a little slower on that particular tap because you don't want to roll the dice. It's like speeding.
It was weird last night. There were two face-off warnings that got called after the puck was down, and it happened to you once and it happened to them once, where, let's say, the infraction was against the Beavs, but they won the draw. Well, they blew it dead, and then you guys won the second one. It happened twice last night. I don't know that you'll ever see that.
Yeah, I know one time. I can't remember the one. I know the one that it was just dropped prematurely, and I know Tyler Landman was just saying, hey, on me, my bad, So, I mean, that was cool. I mean, sometimes they're going to, I just think, again, he realized he probably dropped it at the wrong time, and he just blew it. It smelled bad, and he knew it, and I thought that was just he owned it and just said, hey, let's, round two right here. So that's good, and that's what probably happened the other time, too.
Best of luck tonight.
Thanks, Schulte.
Tom Cerutori, head coach of the Beavers. Starting lineups next on the Beaver Radio Network.